Okay, Rabosa, how are we doing?
Baruch Hashem.
Good. Okay.
Could you give me a book, like a heavy, thick book?
Any
book?
Yeah, English book. This one. Okay, I'm wondering if Yehuda wants to join us today. If he does, so I guess he'll call. Oh, should do me a favor. If he Skypes, you know, just just respond. Okay. So after wishing everyone a Shavua Tov, we have these handouts in case you need them. And where are we up to? Let's take a look on Daf Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're up to Omar Abchia Bar Ashi Omar Rav. So let's see if we can find the place. It's, let's see, you know, the lines in a classical Gemara are skinny and then they get wide at the bottom. So if you count up from the wide lines going up to the thinner lines, you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up. Yeah? Everybody have the place?
Yeah.
The first word in the line is Saraf.
It's easy. You just look for the big gimel. It's right there.
Oh, you have a big gimel. Okay, I didn't see a big gimel. Where did you see a big gimel?
He's got
oh, I see. Okay. Great. Excellent. Okay. So, Omar Abchia Barashi Omar Rav. We began this sugya on Thursday. Now we'll get more into it. Hamadlik ner shel Chanukah tzarech levarech. Now the simple reading of this Gemara implies that we're talking about the first of the brachos, which is called lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. And the question that we want to raise is why does Reb Chiya Bar Avashi, in the name of Rav, feel compelled to have to tell me this great chiddush that you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah? After all, we make a bracha on any mitzvah, do we not? And that's called the principle which the Gemara establishes in Masechta Pesachim, Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Mevarech Aleihem. Every mitzvah requires a bracha. But this mitzvah is a little different. All the mitzvahs, we can point to the Torah and we can say, oh, Asher Kitshana Mitzvosa Mitzivana, right? We can say, here's where God commanded me. In the case of Ner Chanukah, I'd be very hard-pressed to find in the Torah any pasuk that tells you I'm chayv in Ner Chanukah. Because what kind of mitzvah are we dealing with?
The Rabbanan.
A mitzvah of the Rabbanan. So if you're dealing with the mitzvah of the Rabbanan, I don't know, Asher Kitshana Mitzvosa Mitzivanu, so that's going to be the sugya later on about Heichan Tzivanu, you know, where in the world does it say that you have to light Ner Chanukah? I would take it even a step further, maybe, because in the case of Mikra Megillah, for example, on Purim, that's also only the Rabbanan on Yudalid and the Tesvav, but nevertheless, at least it's reading Psukim in the Tanakh, which is certainly a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not like the Rabbanan are creating some sort of new ritual, if you pardon the word, right? I remember once I volunteered to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah in an old age home, in a nursing home. So I was accompanied by a bacher from Lakewood Yeshiva, very fine young man. So we come into one of the rooms where there were some, you know, they had like a mini hospital in this old age home. So we walk into the room, and we started blowing shofar for the patients, the Jewish patients. So this big burly guy comes in. He says, what is this, some sort of ritual? So my friend says, ritual? It's a heftish old mitzvah, he says. He meant it seriously. You know, don't call it a ritual. In any event, when you talk about, you know, lighting Chanukah candles, it's kind of like a ritual. I mean, it's not what you'd call a maisa mitzvah doraisa. You know, you're not doing anything which... Again, in the Mikdash, they did light the menorah, but we're out of the Mikdash, and we're not calling it. So where's the similarity between our Hadlokas Neros and the mitzvah of Hadlokah B'Mikdash? In that sense, the Rabbanan are really creating a new mitzvah ex nihilo. You know, Yesh Me'ayin is a whole new mitzvah. So how can you say, Asher Kitshana Mitzvosu Tzivanu Lahadlik Ner? You know, where's Lahadlik Ner? The whole entity is only a creation of the Rabbanan. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, that hadlokas ner Chanukah, no less than any mitzvah, requires a bracha. And that's the bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Rabbi Yirmi Omar, he adds another piece to the puzzle, haroa ner shel Chanukah tzorach levarech. That there's a bracha not only on the hadlaka, but there's also a bracha on the re'iyah. The Gemara later on is going to formulate the nusach of the bracha. That's called Sha'asa Nisan Lavosenu. And Rabbi Yirmiya seems to imply that who has to recite the bracha Sha'asa Nisan? What does he mean by the roeh? Is that a different person than the madlik? What does it sound like to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a different person. There's the madlik, we'll call him Reuven, and then there's Shimon who's the roeh. But Shimon the roeh is not necessarily the madlik.
You quoted a different bracha. You said Sha'asa Nisan. You didn't say Shekhar Nisan.
Right. So that has to be taken. Right.
Only says Sha'asa Nisan according to this.
Right. That was that discussion of Thursday. I'll just read it. That's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You with the zkanin, but they have beards. They don't have beards. I forget, different colored beards. What was it?
Gray beards.
Oh, gray beards. Okay. Yeah. Michael's not in that category, but somehow they allowed him to go. And where was this great? There was in Greece? That was a cruise to Greece? No.
No, we just went up in the Galilee.
Oh, up to the Galilee. Oh, okay. Fine.
And go back.
Yeah. So now we have the following. We have a new mitzvah called the Roeh. And he sees the Ner Chanukah. Rashi is going to try to understand why is he seeing the Ner Chanukah? Why isn't he lighting the Ner Chanukah? So Rashi offers two possible answers to this question. So let's take a look at the Rashi, Dimaskal Aroeh. If you count down from the top of the Omid, approximately 12 lines, I'm just trying to... So you see the Rashi Haroeh? In my Gemara, it's above the Tosfos Yeshanim, but I don't know, every Gemara is a little different. He says, Ha'over B'shuk, we're talking about a person who's walking in the marketplace, V'roeh B'echad HaChatzeros Dolek, he sees an air Dolek, in one of the courtyards. But again, Rashi still hasn't told me why he's not lighting his own Ner Chanukah. Meaning, you know, he's running around in the marketplace, he sees Yedem's Ner Chanukah, but why isn't he making a bracha on his own Ner Chanukah? So Rashi says, Matzasi b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda, sha'omar m'shem Rabbeinu Yaakov, the whole tradition here, whole Chagadya, t'lo huskika bracha zu, why do we require this bracha? Ela lemisha lo hidlik bebeso adayin. So he's basically on his way home from shul. He hasn't yet gotten to his home yet, and he sees the Ner Chanukah that's dolok in someone else's courtyard, and he's going to make a bracha on that. That's where Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Haroa Ner Shel Chanukah Tzorach Levarech." That's the first interpretation. And then he gives another possible alternative. Oh, liyoshev bisvina. He is on a boat. He's on a cruise. And he doesn't have a house. And if he doesn't have a house, he doesn't have a possibility of being Mekayim the mitzvah of Ner Yishuv Beiso. But he sees someone else's Ner Chanukah in the bias. See, according to Rashi's first pshat, it sounds like he's going to make this bracha twice. You know, we have a concept called sukkah hopping. You know, you go to one sukkah to the other, you keep making bracha every time they give you a kichel, you know what I mean? But here we're talking about Chanukah hopping. So I saw your Ner Chanukah, I'm going to make a bracha on your Ner Chanukah. So that's what this article is partially about. The one that I gave out to you is that there's only one opportunity to make the bracha of Sha'asa Nisan Lavosenu. And that's going to be the first occasion that you see the Ner Chanukah. If the first occasion that you see the Ner Chanukah is when you light the Ner Chanukah, so you'll make Lahadlik on the Hadlok, and then you make Sha'asa Nisim on the Re'ir. And if, on the other hand, you saw someone else's Ner Chanukah before you got the opportunity to see your own Ner Chanukah, then you're going to make the bracha of the Re'ir on the first Ner Chanukah that you saw. And then when you get home and you light the candle, you'll only make the bracha on Lahadlik.
The other people in the house, they have said
also, somebody else in the house will recite the Sha'asa Nisan for you, because for them it's the first time. So basically the halach of a roeh applies to anyone who sees the Ner Chanukah, whether it's the Madlik himself, in the case where he saw the Ner Chanukah after he lit, Or the case of someone else who's Holech Bashuk, Rashi says, and he sees the Ner Chanukah before he gets a chance to light his own Ner Chanukah, he'll recite the Bracha on Re'iyah. But we only make the Bracha once. That's what we're going to learn in Mirtz Hashem inside here. Now, the Gemara soon is going to add a third Bracha on the first night. What's the third Bracha? Yeah. Shechiyonah. So now, here becomes complicated. Why? Because he's on his way home, according to Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Rashi quotes, right? He sees a Ner Chanukah. He has to make a Bracha of Shosan Nisim. When he gets home, he's going to light his own Ner Chanukah. He's only going to make the Bracha on Hadlokah. Where does he make the Shechiyonah? Should he make the Shechiyonah on the Hadlokah, which is later, or should he make a Shechiyonah on the Roeh? On the Re'i itself, which both. Is before even lit.
Maybe both.
You can't make it twice.
Well, can you make Shechiyonah twice? What would you say?
Yeah.
No, well,
if they're different, we know.
Oh, are they two different mitzvahs? Yeah. Right, that's what we discussed on Thursday.
It's the Shechiyonah is Lazman Hazeh. You only do that once. You only arrive at this time once.
So, Mike, I want to tell you a secret here, which, again, don't publicize this, but there's a sheet in the Me'iri that we're going to learn about that really we would make a Shechiyonu even if we didn't light Ner Chanukah, just on the day itself. And the Me'iri is going to develop a sheet that once I see the Ner Chanukah, I make the Bracha on the day itself, and then I need another Shechiyonu on Hadlokah. That's pretty wild. But most Rishonim say no. You only make Shechiyonu once because the day itself doesn't require a bracha and certainly not a Shechiyonu. Because it's not like another day. When do we require a Shechiyonu on the day itself? Yeah, why Yontif? What is Yontif endowed with that Chanukah is not endowed with? Kedusha Sayyom. There's no Kedusha Sayyom to Chanukah. Although, again, if you take a look for a moment without losing the place, back to Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, so if you take a look at the Brisa of my Chanukah, which was always the Bible of this sugya, so the Brisa of the fourth line says, "Kavum v'asom yomim tovim." Very interesting. Do you want to take a look at that? If you count up from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, you'll count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. You'll see something amazing here. V'yasa'um yomim tovim. And Rashi goes into a whole long discussion here that yomim tovim does not mean what we think it means. Because usually when we see the term yomim tovim, it indicates kedushas hayom with an isa malacha. And Rashi says that Hanukkah was never endowed with an isa malacha. So then what does it mean yomim tovim? So Rashi says yomim tovim as far as halel and al anisim. But other Rishonim want to say that and the Me'iri, for example, that Yom Tovim should be taken a little bit more seriously than Rashi takes it. Not to generate an Isa Malacha, but at least to generate a Chiyuv of Shechiyonu on the day itself. Okay, let's go back to our sugya. So now Rabbi Yehuda is going to calculate exactly how many brachas we recite on Ner Chanukah. He says the following. Yom Rishon on the first day, Haroim of Varech Shtayim. The Roeh does not have the opportunity to make the bracha on Hadlaka. But nevertheless, he has two other brachas. He's going to recite the Shasa Nisim, and he's going to recite the Shechiyon. However, Umadlik, what's the status of the Madlik himself? Let's say he hasn't seen anyone else's Ner Chanukah. He's Mavarik Shalosh. He recites Hashem Kitshon Mitzos Yisrona LaHadlik Ner Shal Chanukah. And then he adds Shasa Nisim on the Re'iyah, and Shechiyonu on the fact that this is his first opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah bo mizman lizman. Then Rabbi Yehuda calculates mikan v'yela from the second night of Chanukah on madlik mevarech shtayim v'roa mevarech achas. So one thing is crystal clear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when we get to the second day, we have to drop one bracha. In the case of the Madlik, we drop from 3 down to 2. In the case of the Roa, we drop from 2 down to 1. But what doesn't Rabbi Yehuda tell us? Which bracha are we going to drop? Now, I can promise you, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's one bracha that will not be dropped. And that's the Hadlik. Because the Hadlik is obligatory no less on the second day than it is on the first day. And every day is a separate mitzvah adlocha. But now I have two other possibilities. One which you and I would say intuitively for sure, this is a great candidate to drop, and that's what?
Shechianu.
But the Gemara is not sure about it. The Gemara thinks that perhaps what Rabbi Yehuda has in mind is the Brach of Shasa Nisan, which means that according to the Gemara's Havamina that we're about to embark upon, we only recite Shasa Nisan once during the entire course of Hanukkah. Which day do we recite Shasa Nisan? Only on the first night of Hanukkah. That's pretty amazing. Let's see the Gemara. My memait, you're dropping one bracha. Memait means to reduce it. Which one should you be memait? And the Gemara answers, memait zman. We're going to leave out shechianu, which is called zman. But in the original Hava Mina, when the Gemara says my memait, as all the Rishonim point out, there was a possibility that maybe we should drop the bracha of Shasa Nisan. Now, why would we drop the brach of Shasa Nisan?
At all.
So you're in good company, Michael, and all the Mefarshim here go to town. What was the Havamina that Shasa Nisan would be recited only on the first night?
Well, not only that, but the Shech Yonish would be recited for 8 days.
Okay, maybe we'll get to that too, but that's not what I wanted to share with you. What I have for you is the following possibility, and that is the Rosh Yosef. Okay, now I'm reading this from the Yalkut HaBi'urim in the back. The Rosh Yosef was the author of the Prima Gadim, and he says the following. HaGemara Svura, the Gemara thought, Shahanes Nase B'Pam Achas, that the miracle only happened once, Dahainu, Shabiyom Arishon Nismale Hapach. So they're holding on to a jar that has in it, again before the miracle, enough of a volume of oil to last for one night. But then, on that very day, the Pach expanded, Bekamut Shemen, and had the volume of Shemen, Shetaspik Lishmones Yom. An amazing concept. It means that the very volume that they started with multiplied on the first day itself, and instead of having one volume, which is called 3.5 lugim, you multiply it by 8, and that was the miracle. V'savra Gemara, she'roi l'mayit es bircha shasa nisim mishara yomim, that we should drop the bracha of shasa nisim on the rest of Hanukkah. Kevin shanes atzma nasa kulo b'yom rishon, the entire nes took place on the first day. Umeshiva Gemara, the Gemara says no. Let's see the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says Memayit Zman. So the Gemara asks Memayit Nes. In other words, why don't we leave out Shasa Nisim? After all, the entire miracle says the Rosh Yosef took place on the first day. No, says the Gemara, you made a mistake. Nes Kol Yomei Isa. There was a Nes on every single one of the days. Dahainu, again I'm reading the Rosh Yosef, Shlo Nasa Nes B'Yom Rishon Bolvad. It wasn't an entire miracle that took place on one day. El Shvichol Yom Hayapach Mismale B'Shem. So again, the amount of Shemun was only remained from the beginning to end only enough to cover one night. But after the first night, there was a miracle on the second night, and all of a sudden, magically, the Pach was filled again on the second night. And of course, if this is the Maskana, this leads to the famous question why the first night of Hanukkah is celebrated, because there's no Nes. Now, it's fascinating to me that according to the Rosh Yosef in the Hava Mina, we had, let's call it, 7/8 of the volume that they used for that 8 days was Shemen Shel Nes, was miraculous Shemen. And the reason why that fascinates me is because there's a famous sugya Masechta Menachos about what's the status of something that comes from a miracle. Can it be used for a mitzvah? The Gemara, for example, has a case of chitim sha'olu min hashamayim, that it came down from the heavens with a miracle, and whether you're allowed to use it for the mitzvah of shtei alechem on Chag HaShavuot. So the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Here also, we want Shemen Zayis for the mitzvah of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and instead of Shemen Zayis, seven eighths of the oil were miraculous oil. And I'm thinking out loud here, Rav Osei, that maybe when you have a certain kavus of a material substance and it multiplies miraculously, then it has the status of the original substance. Meaning, it's not like the case where the Gemara says that chitim came down from Shemayim. So you had absolutely nothing, and the miracle supplied you with some supernatural chitim, and the question is, what's the status of those chitim?
So we learned once before that one of the possible answers was that as it poured, it filled up. It poured one eighth, and all eight, and all the shavas, the seven of them, filled up. Right. All of them filled up. Is that that is his shita? Maybe that can fit into his shita too.
Right. That maybe Shemin Shel Nes is also kosher for the mitzvah, but again, only because he started maybe with a material substance. Yeah. Then he quotes the Chachma Shlomo. Listen to this one. The Chachma Shlomo is more famous for his work called the Marshal. He lived 5 centuries ago. And he wants to suggest, this is way before the Prima Gadim, he says that the Gemara Savra, Shachachomim tiknu lemait es habrochos biyom hasheni, kidei lasos heker. What the Chachamim wanted to do was, they wanted to differentiate between 2 great miracles. And they wanted to make a heker to indicate that we are commemorating 2 different miracles. So the Havamin of the Gemara was built on the attempt or the agenda of the Chachamim to create this heker that would be clear that we're celebrating 2 different miracles. Biyom HaRishon, on the first day, Hu Nes Shel Geula Miyad HaYevanim. Again, answering the Beis Yosef's question, why do we have the first day of Chanukah? There was no nest. They had enough Pachshem, in Pachshem. The answer is, the first day of Chanukah, according to the Chochmah Shlomo, was commemorating the miracle of the Rabban Miad Miatim of the Mitzvah, the military campaign. And on that they established a separate bracha, Shalasa Nisim, according to the Havamim. But now they want to make a heker, and they want to tell you that from that first day and on, we're only commemorating the miracle that took place for 7 days, and that was the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, which lasted for an additional 7 days. So they dropped the Brach of Shasan Nisim because they wanted to make this heker. So it's a very interesting thing, because according to Chochmah Shlomo, the Chachamim were involved in a quandary, I would call it. Because on the one hand, they wanted to indicate somehow through the commemoration of the nest that there were 2 Nisim, and they wanted to make a differentiation. On the other hand, they didn't want to drop the nest of the Pach HaShemen, which is again, that's high profile in the Brisa of my Chanukah. So what did they do in order to sort of, weave between these 2 polar extremes? What they did was, they indicated by dropping the Brach of Shasa Nisim on the second day, that the brach on the first night was for the sake of the milchama. And even though at this point they're forfeiting the brach of Shasa Nisim on the Pach HaShemen, but they'll do so. Why will they do so? Because of this push in favor of the heker to differentiate between this miracle and that miracle. And by the way, it sounds like, according to Mashal, which is the miracle, the greater miracle?
The victory,
because that miracle deserves a bracha of Shasan Nisim. I'm going to drop that bracha on the second night, even though we're commemorating the miracle of the Pach HaShem. Michael?
So it says Nisim, which is plural. So the Nisim is not that each night of Hanukkah the honor lasted. You're saying that the Nisim is the 2 Nisim, one was the Milchama and one was the...
That could be an answer. Michael's saying that maybe the miracle of the Pach HaShemen is sort of implicit in the bracha, and that's why we use the plural. If you ask me personally why I think the Nuscha bracha is in plural, I would give you a different answer. Because we say Bayomim Ahem Bizman Hazeh. This is a principle in Hilchas Hodah. Whenever we thank Hashem, we always expand our thanks. Meaning there's a reason that's immediate, and then there's a general, all-inclusive kind of hodah. Like, for example, in the case of Birchas HaGomel, so we start by saying HaGomel L'chayavim Tovos, which is a reference to this particular Hatzolah that I was saved, and then we say Shemolani Kol Tuv, and then we generalize it. we're in Birkas HaMazon, we thank Hashem for the Mazon, and then we go on to thank Hashem for a host of other things, including Harugei Beitar. So, but that's the principle in Hodah, that even though Hodah was generated by a specific occurrence or an episode, but nevertheless we have to generalize it. So once we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for this Nes, we thank you for all the Nisim by Yomimahem Basman Hazeh. And maybe there's even an element of hope that we'll have miracles bizman hazeh as well. So maybe that's for the plural. But anyway, that's the Chochma Shlomo to explain the Havavi that we dropped the bracha on the second day of Shasa Nisim in order to make a Hekev. Then we have the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the Gemara is vacillating back and forth about the status of the first day. And that is, I'll read to you the language of the Chassam Sofer. He says, "Ha'im b'yom harishon lo haya nes klal." Again, he's focused totally on the Pach HaShemen, and this is—he's now reflecting the question of the Beis Yosef that maybe there was no nes on the first night because they had enough shemen for the first night. "Va'atam she'tiknu levarach b'yom harishon birchas shechiyot v'shasa nisim." Also, al ha'geula mi'malchus yovan v'rak b'yom hasheni hischil nes Hashem mishum kach. Royal of Arth Yom Hasheni Birchas Shechiyonu Al Hanes. So this is interesting. You see, here he's adding another element to the equation. If you're going to tell me that we're going to drop according to this half of the Shas and Nisim on the second night,
how can you say Shechiyonu?
But you're right, because we're only dropping one out of the three, or one out of the two. And if that be the case, what's going to be with Shechiyonu? So he says, Enochinami, we recite Shechiyonu on the second night. Again, this is largely based on the Marshal's distinction, because the first night was primarily on the Nes of the Geula Miyaman, and now the second night is on the Pach HaShemen. And this reflects also the Beis Yosef, that there was no Nes of Pach HaShemen on the first night. So we now have a Shechiyonu on what? On the first two nights. I don't know. He doesn't say anything about the third night. I don't know. But Kamel, it sounds like
say each night was a nace. Maybe you could say, because this was a new nace that happened each time. Because it's separate and distinct. We say when we say Shechiyonu, it comes as Chigimel, as Manazez. This is like, so each day, maybe it's a separate.
Listen to what he says. He says that the Maskaras Asugyu is like a different answer to the Beis Yosef, that even on the first night there was a nes. So nechzar Hashemen klal, that the exact volume that was there on the first night remained for the rest of the chag.
Or the only burnt for 1/8.
Right, or burnt only 1/8.
That makes the question of what happened
what does he
last
want
night. What was the nes of last night?
I'm just trying to figure out that some stuff. He says, "Umemela." He says, "Bircha Shechiyonu b'yom harishon." He says that if the nes began on the first night, then the bracha of Shechiyonu is on the tchilas hanes, and therefore there's no need to recite Shechiyonu on the second night. So again, if you all that the miracle took place on from the second night and on, and the first night we're commemorating the miracle of the Nitzach of the Milchama, so then the Shas HaNisim is on that miracle, and the Shechiyonu will be reinstituted on the second night because of the miracle of the Pach HaShemen. If on the other hand he says this is the Maskaras HaGemara, the miracle of the Pach HaShemen occurred even on the first night, then even on the first night we're going to recite Shechiyonu, but there's no need to recite a Shechiyonu again on subsequent nights. Alright, he has a lot more here, but that's what we need now for our purposes. Oh, my Mevarech, so now the Gemara wants to know, so what is the exact Nusach of the Bracha? And we have three Brachos, so the Gemara says the following. Mevarech asher kidshonu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. It's very interesting because the Shulchan Aruch has a different girsa, and according to his text of the Gemara, it's lahadlik ner Chanukah, and that's the way the Sfaradim will light. Also, will make the bracha. Many Ashkenazim also, I know in Bells, for example, that's the way they make the bracha, lahadlik ner Chanukah, meaning I have to create something which is called a ner Chanukah. It has the status of a ner Chanukah. Not that it's related to Chanukah, but its identity is that of a ner Chanukah. So the Gemara asks the following question, Where did the Torah command me that I could recite the Brach Asher Kitshanu? It's also Vitzivanu. It's only a Darabanan. So here the Gemara quotes two opinions, Rav Avya and Rav Nechemya. So we'll read the two opinions inside, and then we're going to try to analyze what they're arguing about. Rav Avya Omar Lo Sosur. I'll read the entire pasuk to you. This is in the 17th chapter of Dvarim. It says, Lo Sosur min Adav Rasha Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmol. And at this point, the Torah is telling us with a mandate, in fact, the Losas said that we are obliged to the authority of the Chachamim and we can't deviate from their commands, their mandates, not Yamin and not Smol. And once the Chachamim were granted this authority, to the extent that the Torah warns us that we have to listen to the Chachamim, otherwise we violate the law of Lo Sosur, so therefore we can make the bracha of Vitzivanu. Now let me point out to you that there's a very, very famous, almost notorious Rambam in two places. The Rambam repeats himself, both in the Sefer Mitzvahs and in the Yad, in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says that whenever you fulfill a mitzvah derabanan, then you obviate, you circumvent the lav, the losa says lo sosur. And if on the other hand you violate a mitzvah derabanan, let's assume you did it deliberately, then you're in violation of lo sosur. Now the reason why I said that this Rambam is notorious is because the Ramban pounces on the Rambam and he says, if you're telling me that every Drabbanan comes under lo tosur, then ipso facto it's a Doraisa. How can you maintain the distinction between a Doraisa and a Drabbanan? So Ramban gives the following example. He says, what happens if you have a Sofik? So we have a rule that Sofik Doraisa L'chumra and Sofik Drabbanan L'kula. Well, if according to the Rambam every Drabbanan comes under lo sosur, then by definition you should have to say Sofik L'chumra. Well, this is the famous kasha of the Ramban, and he objects against the Rambam. If you take a look at Rav Nechemya, Rav Nechemya Omar, he says, forget about the lav of lo sosur, what about the mitzvah asay, and this is in Parshas Hazinu, it says, Sha'al avicha v'yagedcha, z'keinecha v'yomru lach. And the Gemara says later on that there's a distinction here between z'keinecha and avicha. Avicha is a reference to the Nevi'im, which means that when we have to make a decision as to how to how to behave, so to speak, whether to go out to war, not to go out to war, etc., etc., then we have to confer with the Nevi'im. They'll tell us, based on Nevuah, how we have to lead the people of Israel. That's called Avicha. The Nevi'im are called Avos in many different places in the Torah, in Tanakh. But then we have Zkeinecha. And Zkeinecha is a reference to the Chachamim, because Mishakana Ziknakana Chachma, that Zaken is not a reference to age, but rather it's a reference to knowledge. So these are the scholars who will tell us, when we ask any question in Halacha, what our obligations are. So we have to listen to the Chachamim. Once again, the Torah has invested authority in the Chachamim. And in fact, there's a famous question, I'll just mention it to you in passing. It's a very profound question of Rav Shimon Shkup. I know you've heard of Rav Shimon Shkup. Rav Shimon Shkup asks, how do we have an obligation to listen to the Rabbanon? The Gemara says, Heichan Sivanu. In the Gemara's Havamin at least, we don't know where the authority lies and where the Torah actually grant the authority to the Chachamim, that we have to oblige them and follow their mandates. So if that be the case, he says, then there's no reason why we have to fulfill a mitzvah derabanan in the Gemara's Havamim.
I don't get this at all, because this pasuk is so far from the first half of the pasuk, which we didn't quote. The pasuk that says lo sasur starts out va'asisa al pi hadavar asher yerucha ramishpach asher tasulcha, and the chinuch Rashi there says that the ase is the first part of the pasuk and the lo sasay is the second part. The chinuch codifies the mitzvah that way, and this pasuk is so far removed from that, which is a direct quote. I don't understand why they don't use the real pasuk.
The beginning of that pasuk.
Yeah.
And it says, "Dev yasisa kol sheyiruch." All right, listen, Mitch, you're asking an excellent question. I don't have the answer right now. You know, I can try to research.
Well, that's the first question. Then we're going to answer. Al-Piyah Torah Asher Yerucha Ben Ba'al Mishpat Asher Yomru Lucha Ta'aseh. And then Lo Sosur. And everybody, people.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an answer to your question. I just don't
know. Mitzvahs use this as the source of the.
Right.
I don't get it.
Right.
This is such. It's not even. It's close to Asmachta. It doesn't even reach that.
Right. Okay. I hear your question. I can't answer you right now. Don't embarrass me. I can't answer you. I'll believe that, or I'll try. I'll try to get you an answer to that question. The place I would start would be the Gemara in Sanhedrin and see how the Gemara darshins the pesukim.
That's wild.
Okay. So let's just try to see if we can focus on what we do know, not on what we don't know, just for the sake of Talmud Torah. Okay. Now, what is the machlokas, if there is a machlokas here, between Rav Avya and Rav Nechemya? Why is it that Rav Avya puts all the emphasis on Lo Sasur and Rav Nechemya on Sha'ala Avicha V'Yagedcha Uzkeinecha V'Yomru Lecha? So I have here a footnote which I wanted to share with you, and he says the following: Levaras Amachlokes Khan. He says that the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos tries to explain this machlokes between Rav Avya and Rav Nechem. Rav Avya Sovar, that's the first opinion, Shegam mitzvah shechitshu chachamim kigon hadlokas ner Chanukah ukriyas hamegillah nismachos al halav shelo tosu. I'll come back to this in just a minute. Let's just finish the sentence. He says ve'ilu Rav Nechemya savar sherak takonos shegozru chachamim laso siag l'dvar Torah nismachos al lav zeh. Shalav zet zivsa Torah lishma b'kol chachamim b'pirish ha-mitzvah she-tziva aleihem v'lachain ha-syogim she-tiknu chazal nismachim al-posuk zeh aval mitzvah she-chinshu chachamim einom nismachos al-lav zeh ala nismachos al-om b'torah sha'al avicha v'yagedcha she-posuk zeh mitzava lishma l'kol divrei chachamim. That's the Ramban. So let's go over the Ramban. The Ramban says the following: that the machlokas here between Rav Avya and Rav Nechemya revolves that how to understand the scope of Lo Sasur. There's a narrow scope, and that's Rav Nechemya, and then there's a broader scope, which is Rav Avya. Rav Nechemya understood that the Torah is telling you that the Chachamim are invested with the authority to explain the mitzvahs and tell us exactly how to fulfill the mitzvahs. And according to Rav Nechemya, in that context, the Rabbanon are invested with the authority to institute siyag l'mitzvah. In other words, how do you fulfill this mitzvah? How do I guarantee that you fulfill the mitzvah? And they create, if need be, a fence around the mitzvah. However, what are the limitations beyond which the pasuk of Lo Sasur does not apply? That's in the case of being mechadish a mitzvah. Because here you can't say that the chachamim are interpreting a mitzvah. So again, according to, let's just go over one more time. According to Rav Nechemya, says the Ramban, the pasuk Lo Sasur is coming to answer the question, how should you fulfill the mitzvahs? And don't budge, says the Torah, from the mandates and the prescriptions of the Chacham as to how to fulfill the mitzvahs. But if the Chacham want to add a mitzvah that's not in the Torah, that's not included in the scope of Lo Tosur. Comes along Rav Nechemya, and he says that for this, the Torah added an essay of Sha'al Avich V'Yagedcha. That's a much broader, all-inclusive authority to the Chachamim, that we can ask them what we should do with our lives, so to speak, how we should behave. And here, the Chachamim were granted invested with a power and authority to even introduce a new mitzvah. That's Rav Nechemya. So Rav Nechemya objects to the quote of the application of Lo Sosur, because Lo Sosur is limited to Siyogim. I'll read it again. The language of the Ramban is Rav Nechemya Sovel Serak Rak Takonos Shegozru Chachomim Laso Siyagli Divrei Torah Nismachos Alav Zeh. I'm going to try to explain what the Ramban, what I think the Ramban might mean by Nismachos Alav Zeh in just a second. Shebelav Zeh Tzivsa Torah Lishmoel Kol Chachomim Bepirish HaMitzvah. No, it's the Torah commanded a mitzvah. Now let's interpret the mitzvah. Even the siyogim that were enacted by the chachamim are an extension of the mitzvah itself. So everything is generated by the mitzvah. Avol mitzvah shechidshu chachamim enam nismachos alav zel nismachos al ha'omer b'torah sha'al avicha v'yaget. She possibly said mitzvah lishmo divrei chachamim lechol divrei chachamim. That's according to Rav Nechemya. Whereas according to Rav Avya, Gam mitzvah shechidshu chachamim, kigon adlokas ner Chanukah, kriyas ha-megillah, nismachos al alav shel lo sosur. So whereas Rav Avya expands the scope of lo sosur, and it includes even mitzvahs like ner Chanukah and kriyas ha-megillah, Rav Nechemya has a narrow scope definition of lo sosur. However, Rav Nechemya agrees that there's a broader scope to the authority of the Chachamim, and that's included under the mitzvah of Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha. So that's an interesting Ramban.
So could you argue on that basis that the scope of the rabbis to expand on the existing mitzvah could be said to be Doraisa, whereas when they made their new mitzvah, like a rock, that is only
Drabon. According to whom? According to
Nehemiah.
So maybe that's what I wanted to say, Michael, is the word nismachos. That maybe according to Rav Nechemya, the concept of nismachos means that not that the Torah is commanding you to light Ner Chanukah, because again, keep in mind the Ramban is always perturbed by the question, how can you say Sofik Drabonu Lekula if the Torah is commanding you to light Ner Chanukah? But Nismachos means that in the broader sense, the Chacham could tell you X, and if you apply or implement X, then you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha. But it's not directly. You know, this action of Adlokas Ner Chanukah doesn't come under a mitzvah d'oraisa. Why are we expanding the Vitzivanu to include even the fulfillment of Ner Chanukah? That's because Sha'al Avichu V'Yagedcha gives the Rabbanon the authority to create something new and tell us how to fulfill that new mitzvah. But that mitzvah is not written in the Torah. So he's able to maintain on the one hand the distinction between a Doraisa and a Drabonah, on the other hand he's able to maintain a broader definition of a Tzivon, such that we can make a bracha even on a mitzvah Drabonah. Let's just read one more piece of Gemara, and then I want to show you something in this article that I have for you. Mosif Rav Amram. Now Rav Amram's question is based on the Mishnah at the beginning of Masecht Demai. And the Mishnah there indicates that Demai, because of its status as a Sofek, has various kulos. In other words, we have two categories. We have Vade, which is called Tevel, where we know that there was never Trumas and Maisus separated. And then we have Sofek, which is Demai. I buy Tvua from an Amo Oretz, and I don't know if he was Mafrish or he wasn't Mafrish. That's called Demai. So the Mishnah says, at the beginning of Masecht Demai, that Demai is not called or classified as Macholos Asuros. Even though, again, until I mafrish from Demai, I'm not allowed to eat the Demai. But nevertheless, paradoxically, it's not called Macholos Asuros. What are the implications? And then we'll ask why it's not called Macholos Asuros. Number one, Ma'arvimbo. Normally, when you set up what's called mazon shtei sudos as an eruv, it has to be heter achila. You can't use macholas asuros. But in the case of and for sure tevel would not be acceptable for neither what's called an eruv chatzeros, when you have various courtyards that share on one common courtyard, or for an eruv tchumin, which means that you want to leave more than 2,000 amos beyond the bounds of the city. So in both these cases, you set up what's called mazon shtei sudos. But nevertheless, even though Tevel would be excluded, as any other Macholas Asuras, but Tmai is not considered Macholas Asuras. What else gives Tmai a special kula, and it's excluded from the category of Macholas Asuras? Mishtatfimbo. Now we're talking about another concept, which is called Shitufei Muvos. Shitufei Muvos means that we're going to set up mazon of all the people. In other words, it's not enough, like in Erev Chatzeros, it might be enough to have mazon shtei sudos of one individual, and that would allow him to go out from his private house out to the courtyard. But there's something called shitufei muvos, which means that we collect mazon shtei sudos from each and every member who shares the mavoi, this common street or avenue. And not only that, mevarchim olav, Rashi interprets mevarchim olav that we can recite, if you take d'mai and you make a bread out of it, you'll make a brach of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Presumably, had it been made of tevel, which is machol susi, you would not be allowed to make a brach on it. Umezamnin olav, you have three people who ate from bread of d'mai, they can set up a zimun. Umafrishin, this is the main point of this whole Mishnah, for our purposes, the next line in the Mishnah. Umafrishin oso arum. Now, you're not allowed to make a bracha when you're naked, because of Robo Ervas Dova. And yet, the Mishnah allows you to be mafrish maser from Dmai. It must be that you're leaving out the bracha. There's no way, no how, we could allow the bracha in those circumstances. And you could be mafrish d'mai b'nash moshels on Erev Shabbos. Normally on Erev Shabbos we don't allow hafroshes, trumas, and maisers, because b'nash moshels is considered safek lila. But we're going to be makil with regard to hafroshes maiser from d'mai during b'nash moshels. So let's just see what Rav Amram wants to get out of this Mishnah. E-Amrit, if you're going to establish the principle based on either lo sasur or shalavich v'yagedcha, then you can make a bracha and say v'tzivano on a mitzvah d'rabbanon. It's called mid rabbanon by bracha. We should be absolutely uniform and universalize this principle. Every mitzvah d'rabbanon should require a bracha. And therefore, your mafris, trumas, and maisis from d'mai, you should make a bracha. The Hachan, yet the Mishnah says, Ki koi arum, he's naked, is hechi mevarech, how can he possibly make a bracha? Vabeina, we have a requirement derived from the Pasuk in the Parashat Melchama, in Kitesi, it says, Vahaya machanecha kadosh, veleka, we need Kedushas machna to recite or to enunciate the name of God, and the bracha requires enunciating the name of God. So obviously we're going to have to leave out the bracha in the case of Dmai. Why? Why is Dmai different than any mitzvah d'Rabbanan? To the same extent that the Rabbanan require that you light an Ner Chanukah on Chanukah, you read the Megillah on Purim, they require that you mafrish Chuvas and Maises from Dmai. So why then aren't you making a brach on that Afrasha? Omer Abaye, Vadai did Divrayim Boy Brach, but Sofik did Divrayim Lo Boy Brach. Abaye says that we have a distinction between two fundamentally different categories of mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. One mitzvah d'Rabbanan becomes Vadai. In other words, if I have to light Ner Chanukah, there's no Sofik about it. And Boy Brach, we recite a Brach on a Vadai. But Sofik did Divrayim. If you have a suffix on a mitzvah d'rabbanon, then you're not going to make a bracha. What's the case of suffix on a mitzvah d'rabbanon? That's the case of d'mai, right? Because what do we not know? Whether the seller, right? The seller is an amoritz. We don't know if he was mafrish maser, and it's already mitukan, it's already a tikkun, or no, he wasn't mafrish maser. So in that state of doubt, the rabbanon required that we're mafrish maser because of the suffix that's called d'mai, but it still remains a suffix. Now the chiddush of the Gemara here is that you would have said, okay, the Rabbanan said that we're not relying on the Am HaAretz, we're not going to rely on the fact that he was Mafresh Maser, and if we're not relying on him, we have to treat it like a Vadai. In fact, most cases of Safek L'chumra are treated like a Vadai. Let's say, for example, in a Doraisa, I don't know if I recited Kriyat Shema or not. So I'm going to have to recite Kriyat Shema, that's called Safek Doraisa L'chumra. Not only that, I'm going to even recite Birchas Kriyat Shema. That's what the Rambam says in Ilchus Kriyat Shema. So what happened to the principle of Safek? The answer is that since in the case of Safek, the Torah says you have to implement the mitzvah, then the mitzvah now becomes a Vadai. Let's take, for example, you'll all relate to this. On the second night of Pesach, did you make a bracha on matzah, shekichon mitzvah tzivanu, on morar? What's the answer?
Yes,
even though it's all based on Safek. So you and I would have said the reason why we make a bracha in those cases is because since minhag avoseinu v'yodeinu, we have a minhag to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, then we change the mitzvah from a safek into a vadai, such that now I can make a bracha. Why? Because since we're following the minhag of avoseinu, it's true. They only instituted that minhag because they had a safek. They didn't know, they didn't get the word, and so forth and so on. But we know exactly when Yom Tov is, so we don't have that safek. But the answer is no. Since it's minhag avoseinu v'yodeinu, therefore we're going to make the bracha as if we were a vadai. So what I'm trying to suggest is that there's a big chiddush in the Gemara about Tmai. It's basically the mission at the beginning of Tmai. You would have said that since the Rabbanan established Tmai based on the Suffolk, and now they told you have to be Mafresh Masa, go ahead and make a brach on that. Because once you're obligated, albeit because of Suffolk, it now becomes a Chiyuv Vadai, and you can make a brach on that. Kamashmal, no. The Gemara is now, based on the mission at the beginning of Tmai, is saying that the Rabbanan said, be mafresh, it's a chumra to be mafresh because of the safek, but it remains a safek. We're not going to upgrade it to a vadai. And that's what Abai says, if it remains a safek, then we can't make a bracha, because safek bracha is lahakel, we don't make a bracha in a case of a safek. So Rabbosa, if you could pick up this handout that I gave out to you, I want to show you something. Is there an extra copy here? If not, I'll just turn to the original. Okay, just to save myself some time. Okay. I want you to turn to the second page, if you can. You'll see, to identify it, on the top right, it'll say Nun. Because in this essay, which is called Otzer HaYunim, it's the essay on the bracha, starts on page Mem Tes. Now, page Mem Tes, which we're skipping for now, is a long discussion about the Nusach HaBracha on Lahadlik, whether it should be Ner Chanukah or Ner Shel Chanukah. And at the beginning of page Nun, he has a discussion about a Bach, which we're not going to get into right now. And the Bach says that perhaps in one situation the bracha shouldn't be lahadlik, but rather should be al hadlokas ner chanukah. And that's if you appoint someone to light the ner chanukah on your behalf. This is based on a sugya in Pesachim that a shliach cannot make the bracha lamed, because lamed means I'm obligated. The shliach is not obligated. He can only make the bracha on the mitzvah as a general entity, a kiyum mitzvah, and that's called al. And there's entire back and forth here as to whether or not there really is shlichus in Ner Chanukah, because we have a rule that ain't shlichus but mitzvahs. So maybe if I appoint you to light a Ner Chanukah, it's really, I'm considered the one who's lighting Ner Chanukah. And why is that so? Because I own the Ner, I own the Shemen. Again, that's a long discussion. What I do want to point out to you is that the nature of this bracha called Re'iyah, you remember that the Gemara establishes in the name of Rav Chia, that if you see a Ner Chanukah, you make a bracha. So what is the nature of that bracha on Re'iyah? And he has here two different approaches. Very fascinating. One approach is that the bracha on the Re'iyah is really just an extension of Hadlaka. Meaning, the Rabbanan established two dimensions to the mitzvah of Hadlaka Sner Chanukah. One is the act of Hadlaka, and the other is the Re'iyah. But the Re'iyah is also part of the Hadlok itself. And therefore the Brach of Shasan Nisan is really just an extension of the Brach LaHadlik. We'll explain as we go along. The other approach is to say no. There are two separate entities here. There's one entity called Hadlaka, and there's another independent entity called Re'iyah. So if you'll take a look at a paragraph that starts Ubishem, can you find that paragraph on the left column? It's about halfway down, or a little bit more than halfway down the page, on the left column of page Nun. He says, Ubishem agrach mi brisk, huva, shenistapek, Reb Chaim Brisker had he vacillated back and forth. Ha'im sha'asa nisim nitkina al mitzvahs hadlaka. In other words, Re'iyah is just a subcategory, an extension of the hadlaka. And hopefully this will become clear as we go along. Is the brach of sha'asa nisim al Re'iyah saneros bilvad, meaning bilvad as a separate entity called Re'iyah. The Gamisha Madlik, even the Madlik himself, when he recites Shasa Nisim, he's making the bracha not Shasa Nisim on the Hadlaka, but rather on the Re'iyah, and not for the mitzvah of Hadlaka. Okay, so hopefully this will become clearer as we go along. What's the Nafgamina? What does Reb Chaim want to know? He says the following. We have a principle with regard to mitzvahs called over lasiyasan. So for sure the bracha of lahadlik should be recited before he lights the candles. But what about the bracha on Re'iyah? Is that a bracha that lends itself, or shall we say, fits into the category and the requirement of over lasiyasan, like any berachas on mitzvah? And therefore he should recite according to this tzad not only the first bracha before he lights the first candle, but even the second bracha Shasan Nisim should be recited before he lights the second candle. In other words, we're viewing the Shasan Nisim as part of the Adlaka, and this bracha is no less on the mitzvah. Again, you can ask me, Michael, about the Nusach HaBracha. He's aware of that problem. Don't worry about it. But this bracha of Shasan Nisim is no less on the Adlaka than the bracha of Adlaka itself, and therefore requires over lasiyasan, and the bracha should recite it first. If, on the other hand, we go with the second approach, that Re'iyah is a separate entity, a separate kiyum mitzvah, Re'iyah saner. Let's say, for example, the first bracha is on the maisa, the pu'ulas hadlaka, as a mechanical act. The second bracha is on the pirsum anes of Re'iyah. Re'iyah means I recognize the miracle. On that they establish the second bracha Shasan Nisim. Now the bracha is completely dedicated to the Re'iyah itself. And if it's dedicated to the Re'iyah itself, when should you recite that bracha?
After
the Re'iyah. Excellent. So it's going to turn out that Reb Chaim is vacillating back and forth as to whether the classical rule that governs all birchas ha-mitzvah, namely over lasiyasan, should apply not only to lahadlik, or should apply equally to Shas and Nisim.
If not, we would say it's a Birchas Hodah.
It's not a Birchas Hodah in the classical sense, because a Birchas Hodah would come afterwards.
If it's a separate Indian, then you're saying it's a Birchas Hodah.
Correct. And it's Hodah for the Nes.
Right.
Again, I don't know if I want to call it Hodah or Pirsum Anes. I mean, for that you'd have to come to my 11:45.
Birchas Hodah, you do not make over Lasiyasa.
Correct. In other words, if you see lightning, you make a bracha. You thank Hashem for the lightning. If you see a beautiful sunset, or you see the ocean, whatever it might be, you make a bracha, but it's only afterwards. So Reb Chaim now vacillates. Is it possible that Re'iyah is just an arm, so to speak, an extended arm of Hadlaka, and it belongs to Hadlaka? And he has the Ramah. The Ramah says that the bracha of Shasan Nisan should be recited before the Hadlaka. If not for the Ramah, it sounds like the Reb Chaim would be inclined to think that there's no din of over lasiyasan in the bracha of Re'iyah of Shasan Nisan. Wait till you see the candle. So Reb Chaim wanted to fulfill both both definitions. I don't know if you're familiar with Reb Chaim's style. You know, Reb Chaim always tried to do
Sure.
Yeah, somersault to the end, to try to be yotzeit to all the shitas. You know, come up with a... And Reb Chaim would use all his creativity and his ingenuity to come up with the possibility of being yotzeit both. So what did Reb Chaim do? Let's talk for a moment about the second night of Hanukkah. Okay? This is in the paragraph that starts for Huva, if you take a look. So on the second night of Hanukkah, Reb Chaim did the following. Listen carefully. He recited Lahadlik, lit the first candle. Then after he lit the first candle, he recited Shasan Nisim. And then he lit the second candle. Now again, we'll get back to the first night of Hanukkah in just a second. But let's just first... How, Michael?
Well, because
how does he get over Lasiosa if he's already lit the candle, right?
Because he relies on the second.
Exactly. In other words, Reb Chaim understood that the Mahadran candle is sufficient for the fulfillment of this requirement of over Lasiosa. Again, that's a major assumption on Reb Chaim's part. But if you grant Reb Chaim that assumption, then if you sandwich Shasa Nisa between the first candle and the second, then you yotzei koi to all the shittas. Why? If you're going to say it's over Lasiosa, since it's over Lasiosa to the second adlaka. So he sees the first candle, and now he has Re'iyah. So now he makes the... So again, if you assume over Lasiosa, it's going to be over to the second candle. And if you assume, no, that Re'iyah is a separate Kiyum, and the Bracha should come after the Re'iyah, then in fact he saw the first candle, now he's ready to embark upon the Bracha of Shasa Nisim for the second candle.
But what's his Machshava as he says that Bracha?
What is Kavanah?
Yes. I mean, you can't have, you know, you can only be thinking about what am I making this Bracha over?
Are you talking about like the content of thanks? You mean, what does he thank Hashem for? Or you more on a technical level, yeah. is it a bracha? Am I thinking that this bracha is on the hadlaka,
exactly.
which means on the second candle, or is it on Re'iyah, the first candle?
Exactly.
So I think you could have both. I'll tell you why. I don't think it's mutually exclusive, because on the one end, what he does is he sees the first Nair. Right, so once he sees the first Nair, he has already obtained the Kiyum of Re'iyah. Right. If we assume that the Bracha of Shasa Nisim is on the Kiyum of Re'iyah as an independent Kiyum, he now has the Re'iyah, he's ready to go forward and make the Bracha. On the other hand, he's about to light the second candle. So he's going to say, now the Shasa Nisim is on the Adlaka. Do you follow? It's basically, but he has both in mind. So Rav Moshe, we'll stop here for today. But B'li Neder, I would like to start tomorrow's Shia with a little bit of a revisit of this Reb Chaim and see what Reb Chaim is going to do on the first night, because I don't see how Reb Chaim is going to be able to compromise both Shitas on the first night. Because if he's going to wait till after he lights the first candle, then he's not Yotzi the Ramah Shita that is over Lasiyasan on the first candle. I mean on the Brook of Re'im. Okay, Rav Moshe, so we'll stop here.
Of course, I wasn't here last time. There's a nusach for Ria.
The nusach for Ria, the Gemara is going to say down the line, is she'asa nisim la'vosein.
That's
going to be the same nusach. It's standard.
And Shechiyano.
Yeah, we're going to see exactly whether the Shechiyano is on the Re'iyah, whether the Shechiyano is on that Adlaka. You know, that's going to be all part of this article. So if you want to take it home with you, if not, you give it to me and I'll give it out to you again tomorrow. You know?
I want to look up why they pick one person.
I would start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin that goes through all these psukim here, and then I would look at the Torah to me, but he's usually an expert on this.
Rich,
I hear your question. I wasn't trying, Chas V'Shalom, to push you off.
But Rashi on the spot, and if you look for mitzvahs and hazino, there aren't any mitzvahs and hazino. Is it them making a big mitzvah? None of the sefer mitzvahs have mitzvahs and hazino. They end in
right. So let's just see where, if I could find where in Sanhedrin. What is this, a puff over here?
This is a very curious episode. And the whole context of Shal Avicha V'Yageicha is that, you know, that there really is God. You know, it's such a stretch. And there it is, right? The Gemara that that's when they use the pasuk, and I was astounded.
Right.
Okay.
This is like that.